This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Since 1995, the Great Rivers United Way has conducted a study every few years called the Compass Now Survey. The information gathered in a 5-county area helps provide a snapshot of what some of the human needs are in each county. It also helps the United Way determine which agencies should receive United Way funding. UW Extension's Mary Meehan Strube recently interviewed Compass Survey Coordinator Diana Diaz-Granados and Great River United Way President James Falvey. They talked about the newly released Compass Survey.
The Compass report and survey is a survey and scientific research on what our community's most pressing needs are. Diana can talk a little bit about some of the methodology, but at Great Rivers United Way, we use this community needs assessment, known as Compass, as our tool to determine where best to apply funding. So when people make an investment in our United Way, they can be assured that we're placing their investment in those parts of our community that need it most.
How's the report used then? As you talk about, it's used for your funding, but is it used for anything else beyond that in the community?
Oh, actually, yeah, quite a bit. You know, we worked in concert with a number of organizations to develop the report, and each of these organizations, including area hospitals, area health departments, county health departments, they'll all use information there to create action plans for how they're going to best address community needs. We have two great hospital systems here in the La Crosse area that are our charities, and so they have a mandate to affect public health, not just treat those people who are affluent and ill, but to make sure that our community's health is addressed more holistically. So they'll use the report to look for ways to increase and improve upon our community's health. With Great Rivers United Way, we try to have as broad a view on the quality of life in our community as possible. So we'll use not only the health indicators, but indicators of economic stability, indicators of access to education, and other things to make sure that our community has got the highest quality of life possible.
United Way has been working with this type of report over a series of years. I mean, actually, this is what, the fourth or fifth Compass?
Yes, the fourth Compass report. And it is interesting to see that, you know, some of the problems our community has faced, we've been facing for a very long time. We've got systems in place to try to address things. But I think what we're starting to realize more clearly than ever before is that we can no longer afford to measure our success by feeding more people at the food shelf. We have to start looking for broader ways to address the problem of hunger so that we have fewer people who are hungry in the first place. And that's what I think we're really excited about this year, is to really use this as a tool to engage our community in conversation and seek out solutions to problems that are much broader in the solution than just to try to address the symptom of the problem. The symptom of income stability is hunger and maybe lack of access to health care. Maybe there's a number of systems or symptoms of financial instability. But if we look at what the root causes of this financial instability are and we develop broader sets of programs to deal with the problem and identify the stumbling blocks to success in these areas, I think we can actually start using this tool to actually change our community more holistically, really move the needle on things like hunger by getting upstream from the actual symptom of hunger and into the root causes.
When you put the Compass report together this year, did you do it in the same way as you did in the past, or is it different? Was it put together differently?
In years past, we've also used some of the same methodologies. So we've used surveys before. This year, over 1,100 people have responded. We had a household survey and 1,100 people throughout the 5 counties. So the Compass report, just kind of remind your viewers, your listeners, sorry, that the Compass report covers La Crosse County, Houston County, Monroe County, Trempealeau, and Vernon County. And so we had participants in each of those counties, you know, give us their perceptions of what the main issues are in their communities. So we had the survey that's been done before. We also did over 35 focus groups where over 300 people participated in these community conversations about some, you know, some key issues that people wanted to discuss. And then we do research on socioeconomic indicators. So we covered about almost 75 indicators and using census data, other existing data. And what we've put together are kind of four kind of separate reports, one on health, one on income, one on education, and one on community. And within each of those reports, we pull in survey data, you know, some of the results from the survey, some of the results from the focus groups, and the indicators to kind of tell a story of what the needs are in our community.
Are the findings in this report different from previous years?
As James was mentioning, a lot of the issues are the same. I mean, we've had issues with people concerned about alcohol abuse in our community, and that's been identified in years past. And, you know, we found in this survey, you know, over nearly 70% of the people that responded to the survey said that this was an area of great concern. Obesity had also been identified previously, and it is an increasing issue, not only, you know, within our counties, within our Great Rivers region, but in our state and in our country. So we're seeing a lot of the same issues, and it's important to do these type of assessments to kind of keep us all focused on those issues, on the most pressing issues in our communities.
Did you expect the results of this survey to be similar to previous years, or did you expect something different?
I think if I look at what my expectations going into this survey period was, that we would identify that the downturn in the economy, in the nation's economy or the world economy, would be reflected in some of the responses that we saw in terms of community concerns, and we obviously expected it to be represented in some of the data in terms of poverty and other, you know, economy-related issues. And it is pretty profound. I mean, it's profound to think that over one-third of our regional population is not financially stable or secure. That's profound. You know, the federal poverty rate is incredibly high, but we also understand that the federal poverty rate might be about half of what a family of four might need to be financially independent. So you could be earning income above that federal poverty rate, but still financially dependent on outside community programs like your area food shelf or health medical health
assistance programs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that didn't surprise us, but it is one of those things where you can see some of the problems or the opportunities in our community to kind of reprioritize themselves. That people in poverty have always been we've always had a challenge with people in poverty, but we're seeing that the poverty rates are increasing because of the stress on the economy.
The key issues that have been identified in this Compass report are very similar to those that we've seen in the past. Why do they keep recurring each time that we do this, the Compass reports?
You know, that's the big question, you know, and it would be great if we had a simple, easy solution. But I think when we look at reports that have been done in the past, we've identified problems, and we as funders have put money into programs that address those problems. Unfortunately, a lot of times the programs are focused on the symptom and not necessarily the root cause, in part because root causes of things like poverty or root causes of access to high-quality health care are incredibly complicated. It's easier to create a program that feeds an individual or provides health care to an individual than it is to identify these root causes that might be the impediments for them having those resources themselves. I'm excited, though, because I think what we're seeing, and as we identify it, as you ask the question, other members of our community are asking that question, too. And I think there's a new enthusiasm to look at this information, to understand that we have been working on these issues for a long time. We haven't necessarily seen the wholesale changes across the board that we'd like to. And so what do we need to do as a community to come together and really get to those root causes? It won't be easy. It won't be the kind of thing that we can fix in a week, a month, or a year, or maybe even a decade. But as a community, if we agree that we're going to get to the root causes and change our community holistically, we can absolutely do it.
Now, you mentioned that there were four kind of key areas or issues that have been identified. Can we talk about the findings from the survey and the results that you have and within each of those areas? I know income was one of those.
Yes, in the area of income, and kind of to expand on what James was saying, you know, one of the things that we heard over and over again is the effect of the economy has had on our local community, and having people that were coming to our focus groups and describe whether it was a situation that they were in or that friends and community members were in, where people were not able to they're just living paycheck to paycheck or not making their having it difficult having a difficult time making ends meet, not being able to, having to put off health care because they couldn't afford, you know, afford their health care. And so in the area of income, you know, the low living wages and just and kind of related to limited economic development were some of the main issues that that resulted in the Compass report this time around.
And now education was also one of those main areas?
Yes, in education, we the leadership team of the Compass Report identified job skills training and school readiness as kind of the two main issues. And around the issue of school readiness, what we identify is really the need for children to be, we identified what do children need to be ready to be at school. You know, they need to have proper nutrition. They need a safe place to live. They need a community that supports their learning. So we're looking at school readiness not just for, you know, say, preschool or kindergarten, but really, you know, K-12. And so that is something that is rather new in this report.
I think a lot of times school readiness had been viewed as, does the child entering kindergarten, do they know their colors? Can they count to a certain level? You know, are there basic intellectual tools that they're bringing in, you know, to be ready for school? And what our research is finding and what Diana is indicating is that school readiness is much broader than that. And to understand that, you know, even if you know a certain number of numbers and letters coming into school, you also need to have access to health care. You also need to have nutrition and a good, a safe place to sleep so that when you're at school, you're both intellectually ready but physically ready as well.
You mentioned some of the areas in health included the alcohol abuse and obesity. Were there any other key findings within the health arena?
Access to health care and increased cost to health care is certainly a main concern for our community. Issues around mental health and access to mental health care were also, in the survey, you know, almost nearly 40% of the people that participated in the survey were really concerned about suicide in our community. So issues around mental health were certainly identified. And then in each of the areas are also some emerging issues. So access to dental care were identified, and also illegal drug use.
And then finally, the fourth area was community. And what kinds of issues or ideas came up in that area?
In the area of community, we looked at a high cost of childcare as being a real area of concern for the community, transportation, particularly in rural areas, and also specifically for our senior population, and then also food availability. You know, there were areas in Monroe County and Vernon County specifically that are identified as food deserts. And this is, you know, a real emerging issue that is an area of concern. So people not having access, not having the access to healthy food because of where they live is an important issue.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guests today are James Falvey, president of the Great Rivers United Way, and Diana Diaz-Granados, who's the Compass Project Coordinator. And we've been talking about the recently released 2012 Compass Now Community Needs Assessment. Well, Diana, you mentioned that there were key issues or problems that were identified, and then you mentioned emerging issues. What's the difference in the two?
We looked at data. We looked at, those indicators on the, you know, key health indicators or key education indicators, key income indicators, and then looked also at, you know, what did our community say, whether through the data that we collected in the survey or in the focus groups. And those emerging issues, you know, there were some areas that we just see as, you know, that are getting worse, have gotten worse over time. Maybe the data still is not quite, it wasn't quite complete. We need to go back and see, you know, maybe do additional research on, for example, dental care. There's very little information on you know, do people go, are people able to go to the dentist? But we do know from our focus group conversations and service providers that there is a need there. So that was kind of the the difference between a key issue and an emerging issue. I mean, something really to watch for. So I didn't mention in the area of education, higher education costs is certainly an emerging issue. We've heard a lot discussed with that here locally and also at a national level of higher tuition costs being a barrier for people to be able to continue their education after high school.
When you think about the targeted areas or key areas that you've identified, do you note a kind of an intertwining between all of those and how they somewhat interrelate in terms of lack of income to afford health care, possibly even education as you're talking about it, and then the costs of things possibly within the community that people aren't able to afford to either take part in or have access to? So they all somewhat interrelate, and when you put them all together, they really become a big issue within the community.
Yeah, I think that's really how we identify this as an opportunity, mm-hmm. because I think we've historically been able to fund programs specific to the individualized issues, and that kind of creates a siloing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you hear a lot about service providers talking about referrals, that they'll provide service A, and then they'll provide X number of referrals to other agencies or other organizations to help meet the needs of community members. And I think what I'm really, really thrilled about is getting together with members of our community to start exploring what these interrelated challenges are, and how do we best provide the services to those of our neighbors who need them the most to make sure that we're elevating them, not creating dependencies, but elevating them out of the and away from the challenges they face so that we have more people who are more successful in our community. I think it can be really, really exciting to see some of the changes we might be able to achieve as a community. If, for example, we note that poverty's at 20%, and I don't know if that's mm-hmm. the right number, but because there's so many different ways to measure it, but if we agree that poverty's at one particular measurement, what do we do as a community to actually move the needle and bring that number down? And I think what we'll find is that it's not just getting food to the food shelves. It's not just creating a jobs program, but it's really starting to look at our community members as whole people that have complicated sets of challenges that put them in the situation that they're at. And as soon as we can address the breadth of the challenges, then we can see the needle change on those areas.
As you continue to work on those areas and thinking back to how you initiated Compass, it was basically a collaborative effort, community effort, working with United Way to make this happen, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, it was absolutely a collaborative effort, and that's really where the solution lies. United Way cannot buy our community out of its problems. You know, there's no real dollar amount that would ever get us beyond poverty, beyond, you know, barriers to education, beyond barriers to health care. The solution really lies in the intellectual power of bringing more and more people together to solve problems holistically, to make sure that we're developing both the political will, and I'm not talking about blue and red type of mm-hmm. politics, but the internal will of the community as a whole to really say that these are changes that we not only want to make, but we insist upon making. And when we develop that collaboration to the next level, I think that's where we'll see the change really occurring.
In previous reports, when some of these same issues were identified, I know that United Way made efforts through either the programs that you helped to fund or working with other agencies to address some of those issues. Can you identify how any of the previous reports helped to lead to a reduction in any of the problem areas that have been identified?
You know, I think there's a lot of improvements, and I bet Diana can help us identify. I know things like cigarette smoking is an area that has been identified in past reports, and we've seen great mm-hmm. strides in terms of, you know, the rates of cigarette smoking and some of the negative health impacts related to it. But I think the thing that is really important for me to convey to our community is that we've done a great job. We've made sure that food is on the shelves of food shelves. We've done a great job of making sure that our shelters have the funding they need. They haven't been perfect in terms of their ability to not necessarily have to turn people away. Our food shelves haven't been perfect, not necessarily getting the most nutritious food in the hands of people in a universal way. But they've done an excellent job. Excellent job. But what hasn't been addressed and what hasn't been looked at more holistically is how do we get at those root causes? And I think that's what I'm really, really excited mm-hmm. to start refocusing on is to make sure that we're getting upstream from some of these problems. And as I said earlier, not measuring success by feeding more people at the food shelf, but measuring success by having fewer people who need the food in the first place.
This is our roadmap, or say maybe even an atlas with lots of different roadmaps for the community to access. And I would like to mention that that the community can access and read the Compass Report if they go to compassnow.org. So www.compassnow.org. The entire report is on the web right now.
Diana, you mentioned that the work maybe is just beginning. As we look at the Compass Now report, which was recently released, how thorough do you feel that that report is? Or is it possible to miss something?
I'm sure we've missed many things. I mean, you know, it's about a 200-page report, and reporting on five counties, there's complexities, I'm sure, that we weren't able to, you know, to research everything. But it certainly provides a roadmap for people to research further. We used census data, data that was collected by the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. We look at all sorts of population data, and I think what's really exciting is we did a lot of the homework for the community. That there is, if you want to look at what is the county pregnancy rate, teen pregnancy rate, it's in the report. We could continue writing this report, for another year and never really be finished with it. So there probably are things certainly that we missed, and we take note to for the next time to make it even better. I mean, I think each year the Compass Report is becoming more and more thorough and more accessible and user friendly for our community to use.
And I think we look forward now to accelerate the time frame so that we're reinvigorating the data and research every 3 years. When Compass first started, I think the effort was every 5 years or every 6 years, and now we've accelerated that because we know that we need to continue to refresh data. We might not need to do a holistic complete overhaul, complete start from beginning 3 years from now, but if we're endeavoring now to make an investment to make sure that data is refreshed in a 3-year cycle to make sure that we're continuing to address the needs that are most pressing in our communities.
James Falvey is president of the Great Rivers United Way. Diana Diaz-Granados is coordinator of the 2012 Compass Now Survey. It's a research project done every few years to help determine what the most pressing human needs are in the Coulee region. They were interviewed about the survey by UW Extension's Mary Meehan Stroob. Coming up in the next half hour, Wisconsin public schools are relying more than ever on the work of foundations to provide new technology or something special for the classroom. We'll talk with leaders of the La Crosse and Onalaska Foundations about their work. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.